She was 39 when Grace was born, and 40 when I came along. Maddie is only 27 now, 8 years older than me, which means my mother was 37 years older than Maddie. Yeah, you do the math. My grandpa was a horny old man. But again, it's not for me to judge. So, anyway, I have this aunt I never knew existed and barely know except for the one visit she made to stay with us at my mother's house in San Diego for a week. That was 2 years ago. So, when I heard that I was accepted and awarded a scholarship to Grant, a small college in a tiny town by the same name, just outside of Minneapolis, I called Maddie and asked her if I could crash at her place for a week before I moved into the dorms and school started. She hesitated like I was asking her for a goddamn kidney, but finally agreed. And now I'm here in her spare bedroom, and it's only been an hour, but I already feel like a guest who's overstayed her welcome. I unpack my suitcase and put my toothbrush, toothpaste, shampoo, conditioner, and razor in the enormous guest bathroom. Maddie has a really nice apartment. I'm not sure about the cost of living here in Minneapolis, but it looks expensive. It's way fancy. I know some people love fancy, whatever floats your boat, but to me, it's overrated. It makes me long for simple. Fancy hides a lot, while simple unapologetically puts it out there for everyone to see. Makes me think about the apartment I had in San Diego and how much I miss it. It was a converted one-stall garage that I rented from my mother's old gardener, Mr. Yamashita. Mr. Yamashita outfitted a small bathroom inside so he could rent the space out. The kitchen amounted to a mini refrigerator, a microwave, and a hot plate, but no sink. You washed your dishes in the bathroom. It was small and cramped and dark, unless you had the garage door up. But I loved it. It was simple. It was home. My sister Grace and I moved in about a year ago. We were looking for a place to stay, and Mr. Yamashita, being the sweet old man he was, made us a ridiculously cheap rent offer that I couldn't turn down. Grace and I shared a double bed and had a card table and two chairs that served as dining room, desk, and game table. We didn't have much actual space, but it was cozy. It was one block from the ocean, but on a corner lot that had a clear view of the water. Every night after we ate dinner, and Grace had had her bath, we would put the garage door up and sit on the edge of our bed and watch the sun go down over the ocean. And just as the sun would begin to dip in the water and the orange spread across the horizon, Grace would take my hand and raise our interlocked fingers in the air and shout, "It's showtime!" I would shout in agreement, "It's showtime!" She would hold my hand tightly in both of hers, resting in her lap until it was pitch dark. The darkness coaxed a joyous round of applause out of her. I'd join in. She'd tell me, "That was the best one, don't you think?" I would agree, and somehow, I always meant it. Then I'd shut the door, swing Grace's legs up onto the bed, and she'd lie down. I'd cover her up and kiss her on the forehead and tell her, "Night-night, Gracie. I love you. Sleep tight." To which she would answer, "Don't let the bed bugs bite. I love you too, Kate." And she'd kiss me on the forehead. I miss that so much. After everything's put away for my very temporary stay, I wander out and try to talk to Maddie, but she's on the phone, so I motion to the kitchen as if to get permission to eat something. She nods absently as she giggles coyly into the phone. It must be a guy on the other end. Women only giggle like that when they're talking to someone they're having sex with. Or trying to have sex with. Her little dog, Princess, follows me wherever I go. I don't know what breed she is, but if you blink, you'll miss her. She's so tiny. She's friendly and I like her, but I have to keep reminding myself to watch where I walk so I don't misstep and crush her like an ant. I trudge into the kitchen, my feet sliding across the tile at this point because lifting them is just too much damn work. I open Maddie's pantry and scavenge a box of mac and cheese, which is accompanied only by a can of vegetable beef soup and a protein bar that feels so hard I'm certain it expired before the turn of the last century. I find a pot and start boiling some water to cook the mac and cheese, trying to drown out Maddie's conversation in the adjoining room. I hum to myself, wishing I had my iPod, but it's in the bedroom, which is like 20 steps away, and I'm afraid if I commit to that kind of effort.